Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Zimbabwe, saying bye-bye to Bob. Long-serving Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe, popularly known by his citizens as Bob, has been ousted from power by the country's military following the controversial purge of an influential faction in the ZANU-PF ruling party, thereby heralding in a new and unprecedented era in the country's history. France. Can Macron manage the Mideast? French President Emmanuel Macron has surprisingly attempted to position Paris as a Mideast power broker following his diplomatic intervention in the Lebanese-Saudi crisis, though it's unclear whether this is a one-off attempt or the sign of a new regional strategy. And also, Sochi Summit, a Mideast concert of great powers? This week's Syrian summit in Sochi between the Russian, Iranian, and Turkish leaders arguably represents a Mideast concert of great powers, modeled off of its 19th century European predecessor. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the political crisis in Zimbabwe. Long-serving Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe, popularly known by his citizens as Bob, has been ousted from power by the country's military following the controversial purge of an influential faction in the ZANU-PF ruling party, thereby heralding in a new and unprecedented era in the country's history. The revolutionary hero apparently poked the wrong portions of his permanent military, intelligence, and diplomatic bureaucracies, or deep state, when he removed members of a rival faction earlier this month who were purportedly against the presumed accession of his wife Grace as the country's next leader, following a planned party conference to be held next month. Former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, called the crocodile because of his political finesse, was among those who were sacked, but he's since staged a remarkably dramatic comeback following the de facto military coup that just took place in Zimbabwe and was just installed as the interim president. Head of the Zimbabwe's Defense Forces, General Constantino Guyeva Chiwenga, freshly back from a pre-planned visit to China around the time that Mnangagwa was removed, warned Mugabe against continuing his deep state purge, after which he took decisive action in commencing an anti-criminal operation that basically amounted to a coup. It's important to specify two things at this point. The first one is that the Western mainstream media has been trying to malign China as supposedly being responsible for Zimbabwe's deep state conflict in order to draw false equivalency between it and the U.S., intending that the fake news intrigue could dampen African states' enthusiasm for participating in Beijing's paradigm-changing One Belt, One Road global vision of new Silk Road connectivity. The second issue is that the recent events in Zimbabwe have deliberately not been called a coup by the country's leading figures in order to avoid the automatic imposition of African Union and Western sanctions. Regardless of what the events are called and what prompted the military to take action, the fact remains that Mugabe's rule has come to an unexpected and unceremonious end in Zimbabwe, thereby opening up a chance for the country's Western-friendly opposition leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, to make another bid for power whenever new elections will eventually be held. Furthermore, there's a disturbing risk of a regional copycat effect taking place, considering that South Africa's chief whip, Jackson Mthembu, recently remarked that his country could learn from what's happening in Zimbabwe in order to seek President Zuma's ouster as well. All right, folks, this is the topic that everyone's talking about, and I am very pleased to announce that we are joined by Mr. Kwaneli Mkheswa. Kwaneli is a political commentator from Nakayi in northern Zimbabwe, and he definitely knows a lot about this topic.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Kwaneli, what motivated the military to take action? Was it Mugabe's deep state purge, speculative Chinese connivances, a combination thereof, or something else?
Well, the situation has absolutely nothing to do with external forces. It is purely an internal phenomenon. This was the principles within the system that governs Zimbabwe. We find that President Robert Mugabe had developed a desire to install his wife as his successor. But this was not in line with the nature of the system that it is. So this was a purely Zimbabwean phenomenon. It had nothing to do with external forces.
Okay, I see. Well, what I want to ask you then, since we're talking about the internal conditions of what took place, what seems a little bit curious to me, Quanelli, is how was the military able to flawlessly carry out what amounted to a largely nonviolent coup against Mugabe, in spite of the aging leader being in power for so long and presumably having cultivated a lot of state allies and civilian supporters during this time?
Your question is very interesting, but in order to answer your question, I have to just brief you on the way that President Robert Mugabe ruled Zimbabwe for so long. Now, President Robert Mugabe mixed his control of the security apparatus that he gained as the principal from his times when he was fighting as a guerrilla during the war of liberation. So a security apparatus developed around him at that time. So that security apparatus, he has kept it and it has been with him and loyal to him all these 4 decades. And then now the other side of the legitimacy, the other pillar of his power, was the constitutional power. Now, he was also the head of the ZANU-PF party. That was the head of the political wing, you can say, of the security power. So those are the two pillars of his power. So now what happened is, when President Robert Mugabe developed a desire to install his wife to replace him, to succeed him, he had to start purging first the political elements who were standing in his wife's way, and then he was now moving into the security aspect of it. That's why we saw him get rid of the vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is a security man, who was an intelligence man. And then he was moving, allegedly, he was also moving to get rid of the commander of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces. So now, President Robert Mugabe has over the years mixed the two sides or the two pillars of his power. By that, every time when he loses constitutional legitimacy, like for instance in 2008, he had lost power, he lost elections to Morgan Tsvangirai. He used the security apparatus to coerce the nation into maintaining power. So he had repeatedly used the military to control the country. So the military has had a long experience of controlling the state, has had a long experience of coercing the state, and so they knew exactly what to do. So that is why it was easy for them to be able to cut all or to silence all the other parties and all the other institutions that could have stood with Mr. Mugabe at that particular point in time.
Okay, I see. This is very informative, Quanelli. Thank you a lot for explaining that. Now, since we already know what happened, I mean, President Mugabe is no longer the leader of your country, what are your expectations for the post-Mugabe political landscape, and who's the most likely figure to succeed him in the future? Military Chief Chiwenga, opposition leader Tsvangirai, or perhaps someone else?
Well, Chiwenga, there is no way that he's going to take power because the international community is not going to stomach that one. So Mr. Chiwenga, we know that he's going to continue as the general of the army. And then Morgan Tsvangirai doesn't have the political legitimacy in terms of the Zimbabwean model, in terms of what we are seeing for him to take over. Definitely, what happens is that when military had moved against the other security institutions, like the police and the various intelligence departments, in order to isolate President Mugabe, we saw something very interesting developing. Momentum built now politically against President Mugabe. The ZANU-PF party immediately moved against him. There were signs that the party had turned against him, and we saw that on the 19th, this culminated with him being dismissed as the head of the ZANU-PF party. And immediately when there was that void, naturally, the second most powerful man in the party was Emmerson Mnangagwa. So he was propelled to be the head of the political wing. So without even doing much, Emmerson Mnangagwa has inherited the political wing or the political power within Zimbabwe. So definitely he's the one who's going to take over. We understand that he's going to be inaugurated tomorrow as the 18th head of the country or for the time being.
Okay, well then, since we're talking about the domestic developments in Zimbabwe, I'd like to maybe shift the conversation over to the international ones for a moment, Quanelli, and I'd like to ask you how you foresee the post-Mugabe political transition affecting Zimbabwe's relations with China and the West, especially given how you mentioned that you believe the former vice president will remain in power for the foreseeable future. What can we expect in terms of his foreign policy?
Okay, basically what we are seeing in terms of the man himself, Emmerson Mnangagwa, he's got links to China already. We know that because he was also ZANU-PF is a Maoist party. It was supported by the Chinese. So he already has connections directly and so personally to the Chinese. And generally, Zimbabwe has shifted under Mugabe of late in the past 2 decades towards China. So those relations, I expect them to remain intact. But what I'm certain of is that as from now on, Zimbabwe is definitely going to re-engage the West. You will see that there will be a shift back towards the West. Why do I say that? Because the current economic situation of the country has been interpreted in such a way that ever since Zimbabwe had a rupture with the West, the economy has suffered. People have suffered. The unemployment rate is now at 90% rate, and so many people had to go into exile because of that. So I expect that the new leaders are going to establish links with the West. They're going to re-engage the West. But this is not going to undermine their connections or their traditional connections with the Chinese. So I expect Zimbabwe to look both ways, because Zimbabwe actually has institutions. It has strong institutions. So it has the institutions to accommodate both the Chinese and the West at the same time.
That we are joined by Mr. Kwanele Mkeswa. Kwanele is a political commentator from Nakayi in northern Zimbabwe.
Trendstorm.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly then, Kwanele, what you're basically saying is that Zimbabwe will move from, I don't like to use the words pro or anti, but more from a pro-Chinese standpoint to, if we can call it, more of a balancer between East and West, between China and the U.S. Do I kind of understand you correctly?
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. Zimbabwe will do whatever it has to do, or the new leaders are going to do what they think they have to do, and they'll engage who they think they have to engage in order to solve the economic problem, because Zimbabwe has a serious economic problem. So that is going to be their main priority right now. They are not going to have to be influenced more by ideology. They are just going to be focused on trying to resuscitate the economy, and that means re-engaging the West.
Okay, I see. Well, now, if we take more of a regional perspective on things and we account for the fact that Zimbabwe may actually end up balancing like you predict, how probable is it that the deep state coup that just took place in the country could be replicated elsewhere in the continent, particularly in BRICS member South Africa, where President Zuma has been under tremendous pressure by the opposition and their external patrons to resign?
Okay, in order to answer your question, I want you to understand that the African countries, all of them, have got different models. They're not the same because they were designed by external principles. So if that question cannot be answered in a generic sense in terms of Africa. So I'm just going to focus on the two countries you mentioned, South Africa and Zimbabwe. And I'm going to say that what happens in Zimbabwe cannot happen in South Africa from the outset. And I'll explain to you why. There are many factors, but I'll just explain maybe one or two. Now, if you look at the model of the Zimbabwean state, the model of the Zimbabwean state is, it is a highly centralized state where President Robert Mugabe relied on the security apparatus in order to control the state mixed with some constitutional legitimacy through the vote. But when you look at South Africa, the ANC party and Jacob Zuma do not rely on the security establishment in order to have legitimacy, one, and two, to control the state. Their control over the state is entirely constitutional. It is based on the vote. It is based on the Republican institution. That is the control that they have of the Republican institution. And again, the security apparatus in South Africa has never been used, not once, in controlling the nation or in imposing a particular will of a particular party over the nation. So the ANC has never tried to use the security apparatus to maintain its power, even when it has been losing power. It has not tried to use the security apparatus, unlike in Zimbabwe, where Robert Mugabe literally built the country using the security power, by using the security power to act against interest groups and people and even entire sections of the populace that were against his rule, as we witnessed during the 1980s when he acted against the southern part of the nation, because those people, they did not support him. So that kind of scenario being replicated in South Africa just cannot happen. I just can't see it.
Okay, I see. Well, thank you so much for explaining that then. I mean, this really helps put things into perspective, and you really educated our audience a lot about the particularities of regional geopolitics, specifically because this might be very unfamiliar for most of them. Now, in wrapping everything up, Kwanele, and we've had a very extensive and interesting talk, I want to ask you, overall, how do you appraise the latest events? Do you think they're more positive or negative for Zimbabwe's people, and why so?
Okay. That question, I think, because as a Zimbabwean myself, but I will try to answer the question from a purely analytical point of view and not be moralistic or emotional so that I can inform the viewers, isn't it? So when I look at the situation in Zimbabwe right now, what we are seeing is a system getting rid of its principles that it has used for so long in order to reinvigorate itself rather than redesign or remodel itself. So the Zimbabwean system is a system that is based on patronage one, and that is the main reason why Zimbabwe has collapsed economically. Because when you look at it, the president himself admitted to say that the country lost $15 billion from diamond trade in the east from the diamond mines. And we know that the army is the one that is there. And again, we know that every time when the system is losing constitutional legitimacy, it comes out to coerce the nation into submission, into expressing its own will over the nation. So now I see a system that I know to be oppressive in reinvigorating itself, re-entrenching itself, and establishing its power. And so basically, the only good thing that we've had from the Zimbabwean system is that it has been able to maintain security. But without President Robert Mugabe, the question then is, will the system be able to maintain security? If the system is going to be unable to solve the economic problem that Zimbabwe has, the system will not be able to maintain security because the system will have to coerce the nation again, like we saw in 2000, like we saw in 2008, like we have seen repeatedly in 2012. It will have to do that again. So in this case, the question then is, the principles that are there within the deep state, Comrade Chiwenga, Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa, and the various other security chiefs and security and intelligence people, will they be able to act as a unit like they have done in the past without President Robert Mugabe? Quite doubt that. I don't think that they will be able to act that way. So I suspect that they might be systemic collapse that might lead to the various interest groups fracturing, and this might even lead to the collapse of the country. So when I look at that, is it positive? Well, it can be positive because you are saying that an oppressive system is going to collapse, but it can be said to be negative because of the wider implications on the whole state and on the people and on the nation, because I don't see security ahead. So, like I said, I'm just going to explain it. I'm not going to take a moral standpoint on it. Well, I think that is what I'm going to say.
Okay, Kwanele, thank you so much for this. I mean, you gave us a lot to reflect on, especially from the economic and security perspectives. Also, you clarify the strictly internal causes of Zimbabwe's deep state coup, as well as what we can expect next, both in the domestic and international front. So thank you so much for this very informative interview. It was really well appreciated. Thank you, Kwanele.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what Kwanele shared with us today, we can see that what's happening in Zimbabwe, it really is strictly an internal affair. But nonetheless, it's going to have international implications, particularly because of how Kwanele believes that the new government is going to lean more to the West. And they might be doing this to get sanctions and economic relief, but at the same time, it could have some real geopolitical implications, and we're going to have to keep our eyes on what happens, because when the security power in Zimbabwe, which was a security-centric state, is removed or unsettled, it can create a lot of inadvertent consequences, and it might have opened up Pandora's box in one way or another. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@politiconews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.